Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2015. And with me today, I have my brilliant friends, John Martellaro. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you here. Also brilliant, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am apparently brilliant. You can tell because I have a slightly different accent than the normal American accent.
Ox du Liber.
That's true. Also, a monocle.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, and where you've been putting it, wrong. It's for your eye. You should wash it first.
Oh, right.
Is that okay, a Google Glass monocle?
No.
You can tell because Brian doesn't look like a jerk. Just saying. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor this week, and it's Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll be talking about that soon. Before we get all hot and bothered about Pathfinder, though, we have some other topics. And the first thing I thought we could take a look at is just this really great piece you wrote yesterday, Brian, about the cool things that we're learning about Tim Cook, and this came out of a Fortune list where they were naming the top leaders.
Yeah, so Fortune named the world's greatest leaders, and Tim Cook was the world's greatest leader. He was first among the 50 leaders that they profiled. And I'm reading through it, and it's a really good piece. It's a solid piece of reporting and a solid piece of writing. And it's, you know, this is not one of those things done by a seemingly random contributor. This was like a full on Fortune Press. As I started like realizing that I was getting all these like little facts that I'd not known before, that I'd not seen it, and I know a lot about Tim Cook and Apple and Steve Jobs. I know an awful lot.
Yes, you do.
So when I realized that there were tons of things in here that were new to me, I figured I'd put together a list.
All right, what's your favorite thing off the list?
Favorite thing off the list has got to be, and I'm actually now because I am just as much a professional here as I am on the Apple Context Machine. I didn't have the article pulled up yet.
You know, and this just shows how consistently professional you are.
It's true.
Which is great.
It's true. All right, it may actually be the first thing that I said, which was that Apple doesn't have a name yet for its campus.
I've been wondering about campus. That myself. Yeah. Maybe they won't ever name it. I mean, does any other company name its campus? I mean, universities have, you know, halls that they name after distinguished contributors and Nobel Prize winners, you know. And they have chairs that are honored from donations, you know, the Charles H. Miller Chair of Physics, so on.
Are you comparing universities to for-profit corporations?
Well, no. I'm saying that I can't think of any for-profit corporation where a name is notable.
The Sears Tower.
Boom.
I mean, you know, there's tons. I mean, there's Infinite Loop. Heard of that one.
But the name
of those buildings has become to be Infinite Loop. Don't you think?
Well, what about Google? Does Google name its buildings?
Oh, I don't know. Hardly care.
They probably do, but they're probably named after desserts.
I guess the issue is whether it's going to be the Stephen Jobs.
Well,
ship.
Tim said they hadn't decided, but that it would probably have that it would probably in some way pay homage to Steve, but again, he didn't specify. And another interesting thing is that Tim plans to give away all his money. He doesn't have kids. He does have a nephew. He's going to ensure that nephew gets to go to school. And other than that, he's going to be giving it all away. And then my third favorite thing is the fact that Levi's Stadium, which is the San Jose stadium that was built for the San Francisco 49ers, will fit inside. The stadium will fit inside the park that's in the middle of the new Apple building.
They should call it Ground Zero.
What?
I'm just kidding.
That's...
Wow.
The Ground Zero Cafe.
Have you had your cereal yet today?
We already have one of those, so I guess we don't need another one.
No, yeah, and I guess we don't need to name... Goodness gracious, no, John.
They'd be better off calling it the Claris the Dog Cow Campus, and then do all the media events in the Moof Theater.
Yeah.
That would be better than Ground Zero.
Well, you're speaking of the theater. It's going to be awfully nice for Apple to be able to schedule events whenever and wherever. Whenever they want to, in a nice setting.
That's true.
So cool.
It's true, although it's only 1,000-seater. But and then the last big thing is, and we've talked about this in our meetings before, that it seemed like Apple was letting more top executives get a little limelight, you know, and according to this piece, it is in fact a deliberate effort on Tim's part that he said, quote, my objective is to raise the public profile of several of the folks on the executive team and others as well, because I think that's good for Apple at the end of the day, unquote. Contrasts with Steve Jobs, with the Steve Jobs era, because Steve was the only one who really got the limelight. And as Tim Cook said, you know, Steve took the limelight, but he also took all of the heat when he was in charge of Apple. And we kind of forget about that side of things, that he also protected. I mean, yeah, he got all the limelight, but he protected his executives from criticism as well. So
that's true.
Tim Cook said it's a deliberate plan to allow his lieutenants to get more attention. And I think that's a good thing.
Brian, I have a question for you.
Yep.
So when Steve was visibly ill, people started writing about how there needs to be a corporate succession plan. And most of us who were well versed on Apple concluded it was Tim Cook. So if Tim Cook were writing his succession plan, we assume he has one too, who would be on Tim Cook's succession plan?
That's a great question. I would think at this point it would be someone like Eddie Q.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I would not choose Johnny Ive as Tim's first choice. But I hadn't picked anyone yet. But Brian, when you say Eddie Q, that totally makes sense.
If Johnny Ive wanted the job, I would kind of enjoy Johnny Ive being in charge.
It'd be
a pure product company again. I mean, Tim Cook has done, I think he's doing an amazing job, but he's not a product guy. And we
what
all
about
know
Phil
it.
Schiller?
Is marketing Phil guy.
Schiller? Yeah.
Think Steve would have let a marketing guy in charge of his company?
Well, he's been around for a long time and he knows Apple products very well, and he's a great public speaker, and he's been a senior executive
guy
for a long time. Yeah,
not Phil.
Yeah. I don't see an accountant.
His competence.
No, not at all. I don't think we'll see until there is a complete and total shift in Apple's culture and leadership. I don't think we'll see a marketing guy or an accounting guy in charge of Apple. You know, Steve was adamant that that's like the worst thing that could ever happen to a product company.
Interesting.
Yeah.
At least we have a name.
Yeah.
We have a name.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you. I think that it's actually baked into Apple's DNA that marketing guys running the company is bad.
Yeah, I think that's probably essentially one of the things that is being taught at Apple University. I don't know that for a fact, but one way or another, I bet that's... You know, and that's not to minimize Phil Schiller. Phil Schiller has done some amazing things at Apple. I mean, you know, Apple's marketing under Steve Jobs, the CEO, was being run by Phil Schiller. So yeah, Steve got, you know, had his fingers in that particular pie, but it's not like Steve was making this stuff up out of whole cloth. Phil Schiller is really good at marketing Apple products, but I don't see any. Sorry about that noise. I don't see anyone who is a student of Steve Jobs' philosophy wanting to put a marketing person there.
I agree completely. So of the people that that Apple has at their top leadership roles today, I think Eddie Q would be the best option.
If Dave Hamilton were with us, he'd probably argue that at some point Scott Forstall needs to come back so he can run the company.
He probably would argue that very thing. Yeah. All right. So, Brian, thank you for writing that up. That was awesome.
It was a really fun piece to put together.
Yeah, it was. I loved it. So, thank you. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. I've been talking about their app all week long. But if you've missed the previous shows this week, Pathfinder 7 is a really great add-on replacement type tool for the Finder in Mac OS X. Gives you much more power and control over how you you work with the data that's stored on your hard drive. And one of the things that that I've been playing with just like in the last couple days where it's like, oh, that's actually really cool, was the built-in search feature that's in Pathfinder. So what it does is it works outside of Spotlight, and it has its own kind of filtering system built in. And the way it handles searches, it's like stunningly fast. So if you need to search for apps and you want it to be as crazy fast as it possibly can be, Pathfinder handles that much better than the built-in search functions that are part of the OS X Finder. So I thought that was really cool. And John, you're a big Pathfinder fan.
I am. I've been using it since day one. It's one of my favorite apps, and it's on all my Macs. I need to double check this, but I'm pretty sure it's a single user license, not a single Mac license.
So that's another nice thing. I have not checked, but either way, wow, what an amazingly powerful app. I love the flexibility you have and the way you can configure your windows so that you can see exactly what you want the way you want. I love that you can add the extra panels at the bottom of your Pathfinder windows for specific functions. Like, I have mine set up so that I have a terminal window. I have an info box for whatever document or folder I currently have selected so that I can see the properties of that item. I have a preview for whatever it is that I currently have selected. And then I have a fourth panel that kind of bounces around between whatever I need at the time. So sometimes I'm using it to keep track of labels. Other times I actually have it set so that I can change permissions on files. I just love how incredibly flexible and powerful Pathfinder 7 is. Anyhow, go check it out. It's at the Cocotec website. So that's cocotec.com, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. You can download a free demo, try it out for several days, and make sure it works the way you need. And then at the end of that trial period, go ahead and pay for it because, wow, it's amazingly powerful. I'm so glad that I'm using it now. I've actually had a couple people ask, am I waxing poetic about this because Pathfinder 7 is our sponsor or because it's really that cool and that useful? I'm saying these things because it really is that cool and that useful.
It is. Pay the money. It's a good investment. It's probably one of the best apps to invest in ever.
Well, there you go. It has the John Martellaro seal of approval.
And it does.
And that seal is not awarded lightly. So So thank you, Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, for being our sponsor all this week. And head on over to cocotec.com/Pathfinder and download the demo, try it out for yourself. Okay. Another thing that I wanted to take a look at today is a piece that I wrote this morning. where okay, so the deal is, I'm horrible with my pronunciation of Chinese names. I believe it's Zhi Yuteng. He's the CEO of Leshi TV, which is an electronics company, and they're getting ready to release their first smartphone product. And so he took to Weibo, which is the big social network in China, to do his own promotion of what they're going to release and teasing that it's coming. But the way he did it was, I think hyperbole totally fits appropriately here. He decided that he was going to compare Apple to Adolf Hitler. Yeah. And even went so far as to include this South Park-esque graphic of Adolf Hitler giving the very well-known Nazi salute with well, he's wearing the red armband. It has an Apple logo on it. And then there's smiling kids standing around. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, is this a joke? I mean, is someone coming up with a really bad joke? And no, he really did this. And okay, so this phone's going to be running Android OS. And so he equated Android OS from Google and its open ish platform as a positive thing. And Apple's closed ecosystem to oppressive arrogance.
The irony being that it's the closed system of repressive arrogance that will actually protect you from the totalitarian governments. Yes. just saying.
Yes, and this actually created a an opportunity for me to put together a string of words that I never expected to use ever. But hey, you know, when we're in this line of work, you never know just how the words are going to fall together. But anyhow, so I have to quote myself. Presumably, Leshi TV is trying to push the idea that Google's Android platform is better for smartphones and consumers than Apple's closed and tightly controlled ecosystem, and not that the iPhone is the harbinger of totalitarian governments and genocide.
And there you have it.
And there you have it.
He apparently doesn't. He's unfamiliar with Godwin's law.
Oh, now I feel bad because I didn't reference Godwin's law in the article, and I totally should have.
Well, you know, this is the internet. You can edit, sir.
I totally can. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Godwin's law, Godwin's law states that any internet argument at some point will denigrate degrade to a reference to Hitler.
It is true, and then the first person that does loses. I don't remember if that's actually part of Godwin's law, but that is the that's the sort of corollary that goes with it. First person to invoke Hitler in an argument loses.
So in this case, Leshi TV lost by starting the argument, in a manner of speaking.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow, I had to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's some funny stuff. Now the question is, does it play in China? I mean, you know, there are all kinds of things that we take as normal when it comes to advertising that would look completely irrational and crazy in, you know, China or in Russia or in Brazil or in Indonesia or in Nigeria, right? I mean, cultures. We sometimes don't understand how much of our culture goes into our advertising. But so we look at this and it's completely idiotic and funny and laughable. But does it play in China?
Well, I was thinking about that the other day, Brian. I was talking to Peter Bird and we were talking about Apple's unbounded enthusiasm for all of its products.
Every product Peter Bird of a Deeper Look podcast.
Right. And Apple is unabashedly enthusiastic about every product it has despite its limitations. For example, you wouldn't want to try to run parallels on the new MacBook or Photoshop or intensive video applications. The Core M processor in there is not really strong. It has its limits. But does Apple come out and say, you know, there's certain things you shouldn't try to do with this product? No, they just say, this is so cool and you're going to want one. And other cultures may perceive that at not as enthusiastic marketing, but as a certain kind of manipulation of the truth, I wonder.
Yeah, sure. Sure, yeah. It's very hard to see your own culture through the lens of someone else's eyes, for sure. And then some other hyperbolic things to add to that. But I wonder if this plays in China.
I don't know. I would like to think that that they did their market research, and so they knew what would play well. But on the other hand, I'd like to think that that Nazi and Hitler comparisons wouldn't play well there.
Yeah, I would actually. It's funny you say you'd like to think. I'd actually like to think that this blows up in their face, and Apple, you know, ends up selling some more iPhones.
I don't think Apple's going to miss out on iPhone sales, but it would be kind of funny if this did totally implode and actually boost iPhone sales instead of driving sales to Leshy TV's new smartphone.
All right, well, let's keep an eye out for the story, and if any of our listeners and readers see anything from China, especially if they speak Chinese and follow Chinese news media, see if we can't do a follow-up on the story.
Yeah, let us know, because this is a weird and interesting story all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're out of time. So
it seems to happen every show.
I know. I would love for the show to be able to go on for 2 hours, but I've done two-hour podcasts. And so I can also say I am glad this is not a two-hour show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need this. Yeah. To our show.
So anyhow, time to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here today too.
Absolutely.
And thank you to Pathfinder 7 from Cocoa Tech for being our sponsor all week long. Yay. Head on over to their website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder, and download the free trial. Give it a shot. And I'm betting that that if you're someone that wishes you could do more with a Finder, that you'll be ready to drop some change on this app. And listeners, thank you for being with us yet again this week. And we'll be seeing everyone again on Monday.